Matthew chapter number 1, will you go with me to a familiar story? It's family day. Matthew chapter 1 surrounds the family. The first 17 verses is the genealogy and the ancestry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But then I want you to call you into attention in verse number 18 down through verse 25, familiar readings. And I want to read this to you because it doesn't get old to me. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Y'all stay with me. I'm going somewhere today. That's awesome right there. Then Joseph, her husband being a just man, Joseph was a good man, honorable man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all these things were done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, listen to this, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. There's certain things that reoccur every year. And I want to tell y'all what, I frankly get tired of it. Every year, number one, I get tired of elections. Same old, same old. I lie to get in, and then when I get in, I mess everything up. And it don't matter which party they're in, they're real good at both of them.
Amen.
Yeah, you're right,
and I just get tired of them. And I get tired of paying taxes.
Amen.
I mean, I'm talking about you foul every year. Here it comes. It looks like I fouled once and boom, here it comes again. And I'll tell you this, I'm just venting everything I hate. I get tired of Tay Valley traffic. Can I tell you what? I don't know where these people in this valley come from, but they cannot drive. I was coming up the valley the other day, was behind a real slow car. I couldn't help that. And obviously on the other side, there was somebody behind a slow car. So the maniac behind me passes me and him in the middle lane. Not knowing, Chad, on the other side, somebody passed on the middle lane on the other side. And I thought, I'm going to be late for church because they're going to kill each other right in front of me. So I get tired of it. I get tired of answering emails. I get tired of watching commercials with an agenda. And I really get tired of LeBron James opening his mouth. But I tell you one thing I never get tired of. I never get tired of the Christmas story. I never get tired of the Christmas carols. I never get tired of buying gifts and loving on people and being a blessing. I never get tired about preaching Jesus, because he is the reason for the season. I just don't get tired of that. And here's what I'm going to do the next three Sunday mornings. I am going to present you with a gift. And by the way, Jesus is the greatest gift. And we are going to methodically, some of your kids, when it comes to Christmas time, they don't do anything methodically. They get a gift, it's ripped up. But we are going to unwrap this gift piece by piece. So by the time Christmas Day is here, we will have covered Christmas biology. We're going to have a biology lesson. We are going to cover Christmas theology. We're going to have a theology lesson. And then when we have studied Christmas biology and we have discussed Christmas theology, we are going to talk about Christmas doxology. And by that time, we ought to be able to really praise his name. Amen. In this passage of scripture, we're going to deal with something this morning. And by the way, Chad, ain't much preaching on this anymore. I am going to talk to you about the virgin birth of Christ, or Christmas biology. It's found in two of the four Gospels, Matthew and Luke. I really like Luke when he deals with it, because if you know anything about Luke, Luke was a doctor. And the very thought of being a physician and seeing thousands of births must have come amazing to Luke, because he had never seen anything like what was going to happen now, or write anything like what was going to happen now. Somebody help me preach. Because he was a doctor. I want to say to you, both accounts, Matthew and Luke, unequivocally, says Jesus was not born with an ordinary birth. He was not an ordinary baby. Somebody help me here. And his conception didn't come the ordinary way. I want to state this unequivocally. His mother was a virgin, and his father, listen to this, was God himself. And his mother never had intercourse prior to conception and birth. And they probably, some of you in this room, first thing just entered your mind right now. Impossible. The narrative is plain. How many agree with me? He had an earthly mother and a heavenly father. By the way, every Christmas, billions of people come and worship that great Son of God. Not just because he was born, but because of how he was born. And by the way, the virgin birth is the second most controversial doctrine in the Bible behind the resurrection of Christ. And by the way, I'm going to say this, and I may get a little flack If you don't believe in the virgin birth or the resurrection of Christ, you cannot be saved. You just can't do it. Somebody help me, ought to help me right here. But let me say this, physicians, scientists, and even people says this. Well, common sense says that couldn't have happened. There's even clergy. I don't know how many of y'all remember or know or heard, Chad, I know you have, of Rob Bell. He's a fruitcake. Rob Bell said it wouldn't bother him at all to find out that Jesus had a daddy named Larry. Years ago, when I was younger, I was a lot meaner than I am now. I'm sweet and sophisticated now. And I had a guy came to this church. I was here for years. And one day out of the blue, calls me up on the phone and says, I want to have a debate with you. And I said, what about? He said, I do not believe that Jesus had to be born of a virgin. And I said, well, where'd you get that from? He said, well, I've been reading other versions of the Bible, and it said that in those versions, it said he was born of a good maid or a fair woman, and he really didn't have to be born of a virgin. And I said, you're out of your mind. And if you come back Sunday, I'm kicking you out, so I'd say you ought to resign. Boy, it's quiet in here now. Somebody ought to stand up and really say the truth. Jesus was born of a virgin. He died and was buried and he rose again. I remember, I read a lot. Y'all know that. Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter to John Adams. And the letter is about the mystical generation of Jesus by a supreme being, his father, in the womb of a virgin. And Jefferson, which was a liberal-minded guy, said there will be a day when it comes and it'll be classified as a fable, as the generation of Minerva in the brain of Jupiter. I remember Larry King. How many of you old people remember Larry King? Now, I didn't like the station that he's on, but every once in a while I like to listen to him. And here's what Larry King said. Larry King said, they asked him, who would you like to interview of everybody you've interviewed? And he said, I'd like to interview Jesus Christ. That's what he said. And they asked him, said, what would you ask him? He said, one question. One and only one. Were you indeed born of a virgin? He said, to me, that would define history. But I tell you, the virgin birth of Christ is history defining. Everything about us, our clock, BC and AD, is all about Jesus. They may come a time that our government, because of the liberal progressive crowd, say that we ought to do away with Christmas altogether. And they may do that as a holiday. But I'll tell you one thing they cannot do. They cannot remove it from my heart.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes,
sir. So can I do this for about 15 minutes. Oh, I'm preaching, son. Don't worry about that. I'm coming. I'm going to give you three facts that we just read, and I'll be done. Simple facts, but profound. Number one, Matthew 1, teaches this. We believe Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Matthew 1 explains it. It took Matthew 17 verses of the genealogy and the ancestor, but he come up in one verse and said he was child of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I want y'all to look in your Bibles when you go home at Matthew 1. Every one of those, listen to this, every one of those people that was born, here's what happened. The father begat, because all the generations passed down through the father. But look at some. I may shout right here. If y'all don't shout, that's okay. I'll do it for you. Look right here at verse 16. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary. Listen, of whom was born Jesus, who is Christ. No mention of an earthly father, because he was conceived by the Holy Ghost of God. Some of y'all ought to shout. When Dr. Luke met Mary in chapter 1 of Luke and told her this great revelation, here's what she said. Well, how can this be? How can this be? I know no man. Oh, somebody help me. And I want to tell you what he said to her. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the high shall overshadow thee, and also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. I tell you what Mary knew, beyond a shadow of a doubt, there was no human father. Now Joseph didn't know much as Mary did, because he's getting ready to put her away. And by the way, their engagements were stronger than our marriages. If they broke an engagement, they had to have a divorce. And instead of putting her away publicly to embarrass her and ultimately get her stoned, he was going to put her away privately. But the moment he saw the bump in her belly, you know what he wondered? You know what he wondered? Who's the daddy? Who's the father? I want to tell you, the angel went and told him, what's in her is not of your seed, but what is in her is the whole of the Holy Ghost. Somebody help me preach. Frankly speaking, and let's be frank about it. Okay, Chad? Scientifically, hey, Mills, you scientists back there, you folks. Biologically and physiologically, it was impossible. Now look at me. You look right in my eyeballs. From the common sense, looking at it, from a professional, and what we all know, that is impossible. Somebody. Now, they tried to hypothesize, Brother Rich, they tried to hypothesize that perhaps it was an instance, Chad, of parthenogenesis. And what that is, that's a big word to say this, that's the natural form of an asexual reproduction embryo without fertilization. That was some of the hypothesis. But Warren Booth, the leading guy from the University of Tulsa, who was asked about the virgin birth over and over, and he was a parthenogenesis, he said, That was impossible for a woman to have a baby of either sex unless there was intercourse. But see, Luke goes on and say this. Somebody ought to help me preach right here. I'm about ready to get excited. Here's what I want to tell all of you this morning. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Listen to this carefully. If God can create the world from nothing, and God can create the first man and the first woman without parents, he has no problem conceiving within Mary Jesus. See, here's what you do. You look at it from an earthly view. Ladies and gentlemen, this view doesn't come from the earth. It came from heaven. Am I doing all right? Number two, let me hasten. Fact number one. What's fact number one? What's fact number one? He was born of the Holy Spirit. Right? Fact number two. We believe Jesus came as the Son of God. Now listen to this carefully, and I want to state this real cautiously and carefully. Jesus was not the Son of God because he was a descendant of David, though he was. And he was not the Son of God because he died on the cross, though he did. And he was not the Son of God because he lived a moral, sinless life, pure like God. These things are all true for only one reason, because he is the Son of God. How many's heard of Muhammad Ali? You kids never heard of him? Famous boxer? Adrian Rogers tells a story. I love David Adrian Rogers. He was a Southern Baptist, but he ain't like the ones today. He told a story of, he knew Muhammad personally. And before one of Muhammad's fights, before the fight, they went in and had a discussion. I wrote the discussion down because I wanted to make sure I got every bit of it right. And Ali was there. By the way, I don't know if you know this, but Ali was born in or raised in a Christian home. But then he studied Islam. How many knew that? And here's what Muhammad Ali said. Dr. Rogers, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God, the unique Son of God? Just because he was virgin born? He said, because Eve and Adam was born, and shouldn't Adam be more the Son of God than Jesus? And he looked at him the way Adrian could do it. Classic Adrian Rogers. He said, champ, he was born of a virgin because he was the Son of God. He was not the Son of God because he was born of a virgin, but he was born of a virgin because he was the Son of God. And you know what happens all through America? Most preachers today do not preach on the virgin birth of Christ because they're afraid their membership can't take it, because their membership are so liberal in their minds that they can't accept that God was the Father.
Amen. Good preacher. Amen.
Am I preaching?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen, Pastor. Boy, well, lastly, fact number three. Boy, I'm doing pretty good this morning. Moving right along. Look at verse 21. Now what we learned so far, Chad. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Amen? What else have we learned? He is the Son of God. No, it wasn't God and God. He is the God-man. He's 100% God and 100% man. Now, why did all that have to happen? We've come a long ways to tell you why all that had to happen. So I think I will. Look at verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Fact number three, we believe Jesus paid the sin debt for our sins. And you young kids, you're not allowed to give this away, okay? Because I done give this to y'all once, okay? I was in the high school and spoke to him Thursday about this very matter. If you read the ancestry of Jesus and the genealogy, it wasn't pretty. But if you look through this congregation, look at our past, it wasn't real pretty. Why'd he come? And why the virgin birth? Listen carefully. Don't miss this. He didn't die as a mere man. What was in his veins was not the blood of a mere man.
Amen.
The blood that ran in the veins of Christ was the blood of God himself. And with all that in mind, let me sum it up this way. Two things and I'm done. There's no sin. If that's all true, there's no sin Jesus can't cleanse.
Amen.
Just read the genealogy. I could tell you there was a liar in it. I could tell you there was an adulterer in it. I could tell you there was a person that committed incest in it. And I could tell you there was a prostitute in it. And I can tell you there was another woman whose lineage was cursed to the 10th generation. I'm going to say this to you this morning. If you came as a guest, if you're listening online, I don't care what you've done or how bad you've been, Christ's blood can cleanse you from all sin. Somebody ought to help me preach. And you said, and by the way, there's somebody else in it. She was a moral person, highly favored, highly favored.
Yeah.
And she needed to be saved herself.
Amen.
And her name was Mary.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So there is no sin that Jesus can't cleanse. And there's no sinner that he can't save. He saved Jacob the liar, Rahab the prostitute, Bathsheba the adulterer, Tamar the one that committed incest, Ruth whose genealogy or the group was cursed to the 10th generation. And you may feel like your life has been cursed and your life is a mess, but I want to tell you there's not a sin or a sinner that God can't save and cleanse.
Amen.
I tried to do that as simple as I could do it. That's what I call Christmas biology.
Amen.
He came from up high to come down low that those that are down low can go up high. He did it all for me. Each drop of blood he shed for me. If you're here this morning, he came the first time, born of a virgin. Blood was the blood of God to cleanse you from sin. And it'd be terrible if you let your religion or let your morality or let your ungodliness keep you out of heaven when Jesus has paid it all. Bow your head with me. Folks are going to come to get baptized. Head bowed, eyes closed. Let's try not to move around as much as we can. Head bowed and eyes closed. How many in this room know? How many in this room believe in the virgin birth and the resurrection? And you know that you repented of your sin and you trusted Christ as Savior and you know for sure that you're saved. Would you raise your hand? Hold them high. Thank you. Now, that's a great number of people that raised their hand. But there's a little sadness here because all of you didn't. Not everyone raised your hand. Not everyone is confident that you'd go to heaven. I wonder how many right now say, Preacher Smith, if I die today, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. But you told me he was virgin born. And he took my place. And his blood's the blood of God, and I believe it. But how do I get it in my heart? Well, I'll tell you how. That if I shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You repent of your sins. I wonder how many people here, not sure you're saved, in the quietness of this hour. And if you're listening online, maybe you're wherever you're at, and you're not sure you're saved, will you bow your head this morning? Will you trust Christ as Savior? And I'll tell you how in a moment. How many folks are not sure you're saved? Would you slip your hand up and say, pray for me? Boy, Christmas is about Christ, and I'm not sure I'm saved. Raise your hand. God bless you. Anybody? Preacher Smith, I've been listening to you preach for a while. I'm not sure I'm saved. Sometimes I think I am. Sometimes I don't know I am. Well, if you have that kind of doubt, most likely you aren't. And you ought to come and get saved. Stand with me. If you're here and you're not sure, you're here and you're lost and you know it, why don't you, after I pray, come on forward and trust Christ. Our Father, thank you for this hour of preaching, for this time that we open the Word of God and explain a complicated but true doctrine of the virgin birth. God bless that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you coming?